And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 736. Coming back with some team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We head to the AL Central Cleveland Guardians, perennial playoff contender in the division year in and year out with a lot of moving parts year in and year out, which make it kind of interesting, depressing, impressive, all in the same token. And that's what we have my good friend here to help preview for us. When it comes to the Cleveland Guardians, you could find him formerly on the High Stakes Heat podcast with Dr. Dave McDonald himself. You can find him on Twitter at the Dust Mite. Jay Kalusker, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm great, Bubba. How are you, man?
Doing well. Appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, glad we finally got this done. You know, everybody thought you forgot one of your AL teams in your previews, but we kept falling or having stuff happen where we had to cancel on each other. We did it like three or four times now. Yeah. So finally got it done.
Yep. Finally getting it done. And it's going to be a fun one because it is a team I like, especially for fantasy. There is some enjoyment here. And it's just a team that as long as J-Ram's involved, I'm always going to have fun watching. Before we get into the team by team aspects or the player by player aspects of it, what were your thoughts on how 2024 went for the Guardians?
I mean, obviously, I think anybody from the outside could tell that that was better than expected. Even, you know, most of us fans didn't expect us to go past the DS. So, especially with how our rotation looked after Bieber went down, holy cow. Like, I honestly don't know how we got that far. I mean, obviously it was the bullpen and continuous timely hitting and J-Ram having his best season ever. But I mean, it was more exciting than I could have imagined for. So I'll take it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was one of those things where everything was kept clicking. Young pitcher stepped up. Like we'll talk about like Cantillo and those guys just kept getting it done late. And the bats came through. You got Naylor on a career year. He's gone, but there's replacements in place there we'll talk about. And let's start it off with J-Ram, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that just continues to perennially be like a nearly a 30-30 guy every year, at worst a 20-20 guy pretty much every season.
Mm-hmm.
Five-category stud. ADP is five. I love him. If you somehow don't get the top three, I'll take him over Ellie right now in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. What are we thinking for J-Ram? Can he do it again at age 32? Because eventually Father Time catches up, but it doesn't seem to be with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been usually pretty healthy. The only major issues he's had is when his hamate got broken from, I don't remember if it was a hit by pitch or a swing, but yeah. I mean, that was years ago. And he's just, like you said, model of consistency, like bankable 2020 ever since 2018, other than the COVID season. Like, yep. How can you argue with that? And it's with a good average and good counting stats and everything. So, I mean, he's the definition of what you want your, you know, mid first rounder to be in a 15 team league. He just gives you everything and is rock solid as they get. Yeah. Father Time is going to catch up to him, but he's still built pretty well. I mean, he's short, he's stocky, but he gets it done, and he's always motoring around the base packs despite that size that doesn't look like he should be as fast as he is. But he works hard. He's the leader of the team, and everybody loves him, and he comes to work every day and does it with a smile on his face. And God, I mean, we love him here. I mean, he took a hometown discount to stay here. Nobody does that. So
no,
I just drafted him in an OC tonight. I took him at four in a 12 team over Ellie, like you said. I mean, I know, yes, homerish a little bit, but just like there's nothing more bankable than J-Ram, especially third base.
Yeah, there's nothing homerish about that at all. I'll support that because he is, like I said, if you're not getting, if you are a Shohei guy, that's another conversation for another show. But between like after Witt and Judge, which I'm fine with, give me all the J-Ram shares that possibly can be taken up.
Yeah, I mean, and he's pulling the ball still. He still pulls it at a 50% clip, like. He's doing everything right all the time.
Yep, with you for sure. Now we go to the leadoff man for the Cleveland Guardians who missed some time last year with an injury, played 122 games. That's Stephen Kwan, through even in those 122 games, a career-high 14 home runs while he hit 292, which surprised many, and that's a debate. Will that continue? But an ADP of 140-ish right now over the last nine drafts. How are we feeling on Stephen Kwan this season?
Now, Bubba, you had me on for this preview last year, and I told you I probably wasn't drafting Kwan, and he probably wasn't really draftable for me at all at his price. And, you know, I was kind of wrong there, so feel free to – and I was wrong on a lot of other stuff too, so feel free to to slap back at me on any of these. But I mean, Kwan is it's build dependent, and I know people hate that answer, but he's an average fixer. Outfield is not as deep as people think it is. It does fall off fast. So if you find yourself with one outfielder in round 10 or 11 and Kwan sitting there, and you know you got a Matt Olson and a Schwarber or whatever on your team, Kwan's you know, to steal Spores, or he's perfectly cromulent. But are you expecting more than 15, 10? Not really. I mean, it's going to be low RBIs. You're going to have a solid amount of runs and a good average. I mean, his contact rates are comical. Like, he's got like a 3% swinging strike and an 85% zone or out of the zone contact. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, people would probably crucify me for saying this, but his contact skills is like Tony Gwynn-esque. It's got to be pretty fair, right?
It's close, yeah.
Yeah, like he, Tony Gwynn wasn't a big power guy. He could do it. I don't know if Kwan completely could do that, but just, man, the skills just consistently put that to ball is pretty bonkers.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have he didn't start his career like Gwynn did, but, yeah, the skills are, for a season like a couple of that Gwynn had, are possible.
Yep. I was talking about one of your young guys here, Kyle Manzardo, got the cups of coffee last year at a couple different stints. We saw a better production towards the end of the season, maybe got a little more comfortable hanging out with the club, a couple moments in the postseason as well. He's expected to DH most likely, ADP 371. Heck, at one point, we thought he was going to play first base for about 20 minutes before that all changed. Like, literally, like he probably got a phone call, like, congrats, he's playing first base from then. Nope. Cancel. So where are we at on Manzardo? ADP is very friendly, but I guess the playing time is still kind of a question.
I mean, yeah, the ADP is friendly, but God, he's I don't think there's any chance that he's not a strong side platoon, which, you know, is usable in a DC or what have you, but you're not drafting him in an OC. Yeah. The splits are just not there versus lefties yet, and they will not hesitate to platoon him at all. And Fry will be back hitting at least at DH by June. So even if they want to try and let him hit against lefties, if he falls on his face, Fry's going to go right back in there. And there's other guys they can slot in there too. You can put a Gabe Arias in there for the short side. I mean, they're pretty similar in their profile. So it's not really a guy that I have a lot of faith in him being allowed to break out. Unless they, for some reason, decide to start him full-time at the beginning without Fry, but I don't see it happening, honestly.
Yeah, if they did, that'd be amazing, but I'm with you. I don't see that happening. They, when they brought Carlos Santana in, who we'll talk about in a minute, that obviously screwed that whole thing up. But I'm glad you
showed you exactly what they thought, right?
Yes.
Didn't even entertain the thought of Manzardo getting anything.
Yeah, because as you knew the joke, like 20 minutes, but it was close to maybe 20. We'll give an hour.
It's the same damn amount of money, too. Fucking $12 million for Carlos Santana. My God in heaven.
I tell you, that says a lot, like you said. You mentioned Fry, so I'm glad you hit on that, because I haven't heard anything set in stone. Like early offseason, we knew we had the Tommy John, and you're supposed to miss the whole year, but then obviously he can come back and hit after like 8 months or whatever. So are you guys expecting him to come back midseason, like you said? Is that the goal right now?
I would think they're probably not going to bother rushing him back, because they have so many random bats that they can throw in there. But, yeah, he's not going to catch this year. So he's going to lose all his eligibility for next year. But I mean, he's got solid eligibility for if you want to stash him in a DC or I wouldn't draft him in a fab league, just unless you wanted to do a round 30 thing in an NFBC and throw him back on the wire and not, you know, be able to pick him up early when it looks like he's coming back. But I mean, once he's ready to hit, which they said is going to be maybe late May, early June, I mean, he's right back in there against lefties for sure and taking time for Manzardo.
All righty. Speaking of Carlos Santana, the man that'll be, let me do the quick math here, 39 this season. And it's kind of a joke, but if you look at him, it's 240 average, 20 plus home runs, plays a ton. He plays really good defense, though. Plate skills are good. Like, he hasn't really fell off that bad yet. Like, he's not elite, but he's pretty darn good. No. ADP 355. Like, where are we sitting on a Carlos Santana for fantasy?
It's kind of high, but I mean, you know he's playing, right? The park is, I mean, he's switch, right? He's still switch, yeah. So, I mean, the park is solid for lefty power. And I would imagine that's what he's going to do predominantly. So I you know, it's hard to argue with another 20 homer season. Now, is he going to hit more than 240? Probably not. But I mean, he's had 100 WRC plus the last 3 years. He's fine, I guess. I mean, he's a last ditch corner infielder in a 15, and it's not a bad piece to have in a DC either, because you know he's going to play. They're not platooning him. I mean, they still like his defense at first. He's not a bad defender at first at all. Still, decent hard hit rates. I mean, not amazing, but it'll play in progressive, because progressive is playing more hitter friendly towards lefties. So, I mean, there's upside for a 25-75 in there. It's possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I'm surprised his ADP has stayed that low, honestly, once he was signed there. I guess there's still a lot of, like, Kyle Manzardo is going before him in drafts,
yeah.
which I don't get. He's going close to Josh Bell. I kind of feel the same way about Josh Bell, though, because mm-hmm. he'll play a ton. Similar stat lines. They're both going super cheap. So, I'm just surprised by the ADP once the signings took place. So
there's not a dearth of corner infield options late.
No, there's not. Lane Thomas, my conundrum, Lane Thomas. Mm-hmm. We knew how good he was with Washington, comes over to Cleveland, then turns into a platoon because he can't hit right-handed pitching at all. But then the postseason, he's back. So where do we sit with an ADP of 187 entering 2025?
I wonder how much Vogt is going to remember the postseason, because, I mean, he showed what he thought of Lane Thomas until the end of September by plopping him on the bench against as many righties as he could. Not a great defender either. So it doesn't, and that's not going to keep him in the lineup. And the Guardians have no shortage of tweener, outfielder bats that they can try to shuffle in there. You got your Jonathan Rodriguez that's still hanging around. Will Brennan, he still has three options left. I don't know how Will Brennan has three options. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Unless roster resource is wrong, but he's been in the minors at least two different seasons that he's been up in the majors. So I don't know if they were given an exception on him for something or what, but that could be a mistake. But there's all kinds of guys. We're going to talk about a few more of them. But free agent after this year. So you think they're going to try to get the $8 million that they got into him and keep him on the field? But I don't know how much that postseason is going to ingratiate him with Vogt. When he's hitting 215 against righties still in the middle of May. So I would imagine they're going to start him in the lineup pretty much full time. But if he's not hitting against righties, it's not going to last long, because the defense ain't keeping him in center if his bat isn't playing.
Yeah, that's why I've been terrified to draft him. Some people are.
And I haven't drafted him yet.
Yeah. Some people are all about him having this bounce back. I'm like, I don't know. Like, Vogt's that kind of, guy. I'm with you basically, and I'm just
and it hurts, because he's given me some last couple really good seasons. He's been a godsend for a few teams, and it sucks to not want to, especially since he's a Guardian. I want to enjoy it, but it's a little steep. I like a lot of outfielders that are going around there and later. Honestly, I like I like Parker Meadows more than him. The defense is going to keep Parker Meadows in the lineup. Probably even take a shot on Robles over him, even though the track record there is spotty. So those guys at least are keeping themselves in the lineup in a number of ways. Whereas Thomas, he's got to hit against righty, so that's it.
No, I'm with you there. Let's head to the dish here behind the plate, a player I know I was high on and many others were last year. And Bo Naylor, talk about, you can tell me how wrong I got this one.
Me too, man.
It's like 201 average, 13 homers. He saw such good promise coming into the year. Whole skill set seemed like it changed, which is frustrating.
Yeah, the K rate went way up.
ADP's 286, though. Are we, interested at all?
I have a couple when I'm, dumpster diving catchers in a DC, and then I'll take a third one quickly after that. He'll give my two, and I take another one. I don't know. I was really disappointed, and like you said, everything just took a nosedive last year. Swinging strike was bad, 12.5. Contact rate got worse. Zone contact went down to 81. That's not going to cut it. They still have Hedges. You know they're going to play Hedges, even though he's got a wet noodle. I honestly would prefer to get somebody a little stronger is my C2, and that's another one. It sucks to say, because I really think there's a power speed guy there somewhere. But are they going to keep him in the lineup enough when he's struggling to make that happen? I'm not confident. And yeah, hurts to say.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've had a couple shares for the same reasons you've mentioned. It's not a priority of mine, but sometimes stuff happens when you're drafting. So
yeah.
Hopefully he bounces back because it looks real good for a second.
I'd love that skill set at the bottom. I mean, the bottom of the Guardians lineup is just putrid. Yeah. So
that's a yearly thing, though, when I do this show with you. With
yes.
It's a top-heavy lineup that still somehow finds a way, which is interesting. Speaking of the bottom part of that lineup, second base is kind of a question mark right now. Juan Brito is penciled in there on roster resource. He's very good in the minors, but he's going to be 23. Haven't seen him yet. His ADP is like just inside 600. Are we looking at Brito, or do you have something else in play for second base?
No, this is what I've been keying on. I have Brito in a couple of my DCs already. He was my round 50 pick in a couple of DCs last year because I thought they were going to bounce him up quickly just because of how Nolan Jones looked. This is the return we got for Nolan Jones. So I thought they were going to feel compelled to bring him up last year if Rocchio was struggling, and they didn't. But, yeah, like you said, very solid year at AAA last year. The average isn't amazing, but he's a power speed guy. If he's in the lineup full-time, a 15-20 season is perfectly within range of outcomes. Above average WRC pluses at every stop of the minors so far. He wasn't old for AAA. I mean, 23 is not old for AAA. Swinging strike rates have all been good. I mean, they got rid of Jimenez. Bazana's not ready this year. If he is ready, it'll be late because they didn't rush Bazana last year. I think he made it to high A last year, and that was it. I don't see them bouncing him up too fast. I think they're going to give Brito a chance to run with this one. And I love it as a late stab because you can get a guy with teens, power, and speed in the 600s. Like, I think it's going to rise once people realize he's officially going to be in the lineup. He'll be around 400 or so in mains, but I mean, that's still fine. Like, you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle there.
Yeah, it's a great middle.
I'm all about it. Walk rates have been really good. He's got good plate skills. Like, this is a kid to take a chance on.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, it looks very, very promising if he can get the run. You mentioned Brian Rocchio a second there. Mm-hmm. Like, he nothing flashy last year, but like between, I guess, defense and he's 8 homers, 10 steals, is hit for no average. He's going to get another shot to run with the shortstop position this year. Now, see, his ADP is 450-ish, so way ahead of, Brito, obviously different positions. Are you interested in a guy like Rocchio at all?
We have seen a really good version of Brian Rocchio like 3 different times, but they've been pretty short-lived. Like, he goes on little power stretches, and the playoffs last year, he was showing it. Like, he was one of our best hitters last year in the DS and the ALCS. He still got the shortstop job. The defense is good. He's not amazing. He's not, Ozzie Smith, but he'll make a bonehead mistake once in a while. But most of the time he gets the job done. So he's going to get some run with it. We don't have like another true shortstop that's knocking on the door. There are quite a few that are down in the minors, but they're not quite up ready yet. And Brito's not going to play short. So I think this is Rocchio's job again. I've taken him at least in one DC because shortstop, there are so many good shortstops at the top, and you've been doing your stuff with Ryan. You know how this is. And it just craters and then craters again. And there's nothing at shortstop once you get to the end game of a 15. So getting a guy with a full-time job that has 10 homer pop, 15 homer pop, and 10 steal speed, he's going to play. I don't know. It's worth a chance. But do I think he's going to hit 250, 260? Probably not. You're probably going to end up dropping him at some point or picking him back up again. But, there are worse shots to take. And he's nice to have in a DC because at least he's playing and he's not going to absolutely crater you.
Yeah, I had a few shares of Rocchio last year in DCs just because and he filled in admirably in the last like month and a half of the season when everyone's hurt. So I don't mind that at all. You added a guy that I should have had on there, but I think I looked at Ross Resource and he's in a platoon.
Which yeah.
I'm curious. And John Kinsey Noel, the Big Christmas, as we all know him, ADP's 395. Now, I think he's more talented than Will Brennan. Don't think I'm going on a limb there, but I know how the platoons work. I get all of that. What are our thoughts on Noel entering this season?
I mean, I really hope they give him a chance to just play over Brennan. We know what Brennan is. He's an occasional homer an occasional steal, and then a bunch of stupid strikeouts. And I would rather have a guy like Christmas that at least can hit a homer like he did off of Weaver in the ALCS. He's got a good arm. He's not he's one of the best bat speeds guys in the majors. Like, just give him a chance. Like, what are we wasting time with Will Brennan for? We have other guys, again, outfielders too, that are coming up soon. So just give Noel the chance. I hope they don't do the strict platoon thing with them, because like, there's no upside in Will Brennan. Now, do I think they're going to give it to Noel right away? No, I think they're still going to carry Brennan on the roster, but I really hope that they see the light here.
Anything to see in Jonathan Rodriguez?
Sorry, I muted myself to cough. No. He's kind of like, I don't know, a worse version of Noel. He's got more than, above average power, bad contact skills, and maybe he could work out, but I don't think they're going to carry both of them personally. I mean, both of them are right-handed power bats in the outfield, and they're not playing center. So, I don't know, it's hard to expect them to carry both. Strikeout rates are bad enough, and he doesn't have the pop that Noel does. I don't know. I if they carry Noel, they're not going to carry Rodriguez, I don't think. But then again, maybe they'll just dump Brennan and keep Rodriguez as the backup and let Noel play full time. I'm betting it would be minors for Rodriguez to start, though.
All righty. Let's head to the mound. We'll talk prospects at the end, and we'll talk some pitching here. And Tanner Bibee is a guy that I was extremely excited about last year and saw a nice jump in production there. ADP's around 83 coming into this season. Do we expect another leap, or was last year real? Like, how do you guys feel about this in Cleveland land?
Last year's real. Do another leap? I don't know. I think he gives you exactly what he's advertising. He's an SP2, a solid SP2 with above average strikeout stuff. And I don't know if the upside is acedom with him, but I mean, he's a really, really good guy to have as your SP2-3, and he's going as an SP2-3. So it's not like he's being overdrafted. In fact, I think he's even lower priced this year than last. I know his AAV in the early auctions was only $15.
That's crazy.
That's a great choice, a great price. Like for that kind of stability, if you wait on your second starter, or even if you want to make him your third starter and then just kind of go cheap with the rest of the way, it's hard to argue with that. It's a really nice price. I don't think he's an ace. I don't think he's ever going to be that stud that, we saw out of Bieber a couple years, but I hope he sticks around for a while, because you're going to get 26, 27% K upside and great ratios for the most part. The whip went down last year. The walk rates went down last year. He's comfortable. He's got a lot of pitches, mixes them up. Yeah, bad fastball, but he makes it work, and that's kind of the Guardians recipe.
Yeah, it is 100% the Guardians recipe. Ben Lively, not a big strikeout guy, but ratios were decent through 151 innings, which the Guardians needed last year. ADP is sitting around 540. Are we interested in him, or is he better real life than fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want him in fantasy. He's not giving you any K upside late. Ratio upside is not there. We owe him a lot for last year. Save the rotation. Can't believe that. Like, we pulled some dudes off the scrap heap last year. Matthew Boyd that everybody forgot about. Yep. Ben Lively that Cincinnati couldn't keep around. Like, thank God, because we had nothing left other than those guys. I don't see any reason to draft him, though. He's low upside everywhere.
All right. I'm really, really curious your thoughts here on one Gavin Williams. So a lot of us were high on last year between, coming back late, the injury situation. Ratios weren't there. It seemed like he really never got comfortable. Strikeouts were okay, but walks and everything, not ideal. ADP's 244, though. So if we believe in the skill set he once was, a year removed from the injury, there's a whole conversation can be had there. Where do you sit on this ADP of 244?
It's fine. I'm probably still not drafting him much, if at all. I'm still worried about the elbow, honestly. Okay. There was no actual medical resolution to it. We still don't even really know exactly what it was. It was kind of like the injury that Bieber had a couple years ago, where he just kind of, floated into the offseason. This one, Gavin, took longer to come back. Strikeout upside's there. Control is still everywhere. It's all over the place. I think he needs another year to grow personally, and I need to see him be healthy for another year. you know, underlying metrics were fine. His Sierra was way lower than his ERA last year. FIP was even lower. Swing strike rates are okay. It was kind of pedestrian for the stuff, honestly. I think he needs another year to mature. I wouldn't count on him giving you a full workload this year. I think I'd go elsewhere.
Sounds good. Yeah, I have no shares yet. I know I liked him last year, but I haven't got a good report on him yet on what is going on with Gavin Williams. One of your new acquisitions, Luis L. Ortiz, joins the team here. And, you know, another guy, not a lot of strikeouts. It's a lot of Ben Lively in this situation here.
But better stuff.
Yeah, I was say there's upside here. Like I've even heard, you know, Sarah's talk about it. Like there's things that point in a good direction. So at an ADP of 363, are you buying into a Luis L. Ortiz?
I definitely am. You can't teach velo, and that's one thing that most Guardians pitchers lack. And I know I just talked about Gavin Williams, but Luis Ortiz doesn't have the control problems that Williams does. And there's also it's a slider, I believe, that's workable as well. So I think there is some potential here for some strikeout growth once the Guardians get a hand on him. Because, you know, we all know the Pirates aren't known for their pitching development, you know. They can have a scheme succeed without having to do anything. So there hasn't been many success stories in that regard. Another guy with a good whip rate, like I said, good velo, secondaries that are usable, and there's a lot of potential here, I think. I think the price is real nice. He's a first or second reserve pitcher in a 15. I have him on a couple DCs already. I know, kind of like a broken record, but I think this is a guy I'm going to have a lot more of as I go along.
Yep, I like that for sure. Now, I think I know your answer here based on how you treat injuries and how I treat injuries, but Tristan McKenzie is still in the rotation. Never did anything really to fix his arm issue, elbow issue. I'll just keep it simple. Are we just completely avoiding the situation?
Not bothering. I know he's cheap, 525. He needs surgery. He put it off. It's documented that he said, they told me I need surgery. I don't want to do it. He's just trying to get through a season and get another contract. Like it, I don't see, no, I'm not. I love the guy. I hope he succeeds. I'm rooting for him. It's not going to be on my team though. He's got no options either. So it's not like they can put him in the minors if he's healthy. I wish him well. I hope so, but I'm not confident at all. The velo sucks too. Like it's not even like he doesn't even have good stuff anymore. Like that was it 2021 season where he was, 21 or 22, where he was absolutely dominant. 22, it's gone. Like everything's gone. The velo's down. Stuff is nowhere close to what it was before. Walk rates are through the roof. Like just now.
Yeah, sucks. No, you can tell he needs surgery.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about who could possibly replace Tristan McKenzie and company. And we'll start with Joey Cantillo, who I know early in the season he come up, get called up, and get kind of blown up. It felt like oh, this isn't going to work. But the last stint he had, very serviceable, stuck in the rotation, lots of positive changes, you know, better stuff and ratios, the whole cha-cha as the season went on. Again, like a joke, shocker, young pitcher starts to figure things out, how that works. ADP's 440. I've been taking shares in DCs.
Yeah, I think he's going to get plenty of run. You know, that way that they used him in the ALCS hopefully didn't mentally destroy him, like when Vogt brought him in early and he just got absolutely shellacked in Yankee Stadium. But yeah, you saw a lot of glimmers last year and he was putting it together and they were able to use him in, you know, down the stretch in a pennant run. I mean, I hope they're not going to try and shoehorn McKenzie in at, you know, at 70% over Cantillo, because he showed if he can get that walk rate under control, there's a lot of great stuff there. And we need a power lefty. Like, we've been Guardians haven't had a lot of good left-handed pitching like since forever. I can't even remember the last time. I know it's kind of sad, but Cliff Lee. Yeah. I mean, that's you're right. You're right. Man. You're right. That we, that was we a long traded time ago. Him in 2009. So yeah,
long time ago.
It was a good trade, but yeah, that's been about it since then.
Yeah. CC
and CC.
Those are the two for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, and then there's Shane Bieber coming back on a team-friendly deal because his arm's still, you know, recovering from his surgery. I think they're expecting him back mid-season. I haven't heard an exact number. Do you have any type of interest for a guy? Like I'm just avoiding him because he's coming back.
No, I mean, you're not taking him in a fab league. I put him on here because I wanted to just say, like, I'm not bothering. Like, I don't take guys coming back off of TJ when it's that quick. And, you know, they want him to be able to do something in the playoffs. They're not going to bring him back in July and try to screw him up again. So they're paying him quite a bit of money for the Guardians. Like, it was like $14 million or something like that. That's not a small chunk of change for Cleveland.
Yeah, is that grouping of Cobb, Bieber, Verlander, Scherzer, all these old dudes got about $13 to $16 million,
and only one of them is not pitching until June at least. So
yes, that is true. Just
let him go.
He might be the only one still pitching in June though.
but hopefully Bobby's still there. I mean, come on.
I'm talking about
out of them. Yeah.
That group I mentioned. They might all be hurt by then. All right, let's talk about bullpen. Emmanuel Clase, of course, one of the most dominating seasons in baseball. Postseason, different story for a different day. I'm not as concerned about that as some might be. Yes, it matters. I'm not opposed that it doesn't matter. But like, some people are just like, oh, he's broken. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go that far. But ADP's 34. He's not my number one closer, I'll say that. But what are you seeing with Clase? Like, what are your thoughts on drafting him? Wise thoughts on like how he's how you, because you do admit it, you got to take it into account.
Yeah, you certainly do. I mean, yes, he was overworked, just like that whole bullpen was. I mean, they were the rotation was practically going out to the mound on crutches in September, and they leaned on that bullpen hard. But yeah, we've seen this from Clase before. At the beginning of 23, where the velo dipped noticeably and the production dipped even more noticeably. You know, he was still a good reliever, but he blew like 10 or 11 saves in 23. And we were worried Tito was going to take it away from him. We were worried he was going to have surgery, like, because he was down a good 3 miles an hour. And in the playoffs, he was at 98, 99. And he's usually sitting 100, 101. So was it overwork? I hope so. Like, nobody's come out and said, you know, he was nursing something and just trying to gut it out. I don't think he has anything to, we don't have anything to worry about mentally with him. Dude's got the mentality of a closer. He's got one of the best three season runs of any closer in MLB history. So, you know, I was worried they're going to trade him last year just because of how good the contract was and how much they could get for him, and they kept him, and I'm glad they did. I don't think there's any risk of them trading him this year, maybe next year if we stink this year. But like you said, though, there's reservation drafting him one, though, just because of that little velo issue. I have taken him in one league. It was not first closer. I think Devin was first. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm trying to not have to take closers quite that early this year, though. So it's not fitting my strategy most of the time.
Yeah, that definitely would not. It's getting trickier with the closing carousel going on these days. But
he's got the job as long as his arm's on. So
bingo. And then you mentioned there's Cade Smith, who was filthy last year. Like, so also worked a ton.
Yes.
And then
yes.
they bring in Paul Sewald, who used to
as be a rookie closer. Too.
Yeah, it was filthy. They bring in Sewald, was closing, kind of lost. He lost his job, so at least he has experience. Who do you see kind of being the next man up, or how do you see the bullpen playing out if for some reason Clase is out of the way?
That's a good question, because I would have said it was Smith until the Sewald signing.
I agree. I think Sewald's the guy, honestly.
I kind of do. I kind of think they like Cade Smith doing what he's doing. They could bring him in the fifth and blow dudes away for four outs. Like, I think Vogt loves having that. The dude's young. It's not like they need to rush him into a closer role. They paid Sewald a decent chunk of change. Now, if Sewald's velo looks bad, like it kind of did towards the end of the time with the D-backs, maybe we'll see. I mean, they brought in Scott Barlow last year, and his velo just fell off the table. Sewald's velo is down a tick. He's sitting 91.5, which for a righty, that's pretty bad. Yeah. So we'll see if it's not a Scott Barlow 2.0. But I'd say if all things are normal with Sewald, I think he's going to be the number two, because I just, like I said, I think they love Cade Smith just being able to just rip dudes apart.
Yep, I completely agree with you. So I was kind of curious to get your thoughts on it. Sewald's ADP 530, but it's gone as high as 439 over the last 10, so he's slowly creeping up as that happens. Any other pitchers before we talk prospects?
No, I mean, they got Thomas Nicasi. I don't think, hopefully they don't need him. God, I hope they don't need Logan Allen again. we've seen that. Daniel Espino, they should have traded 2 years ago before his shoulder exploded. So yeah, there's not a whole lot. You know, you like Vince Velasquez on a minor league deal. You know, that's just the kind of thing that might work out based on how last year went.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, I guess maybe he's not a terrible 50th round pick until you know what's happening there, because they might try to use him if they have to. Other than that, no, I don't think they're ready. There's a guy they have named Matt Wilkinson. He is a lefty in Double A. He was in Double A for a little bit of last year. He is, let's see, what's the measurements? 6'1", 270.
Good Lord.
He a big boy. His nickname is Tugboat. We call him Tuggy.
Man, I need to get a jersey or something.
In Single A last year, High A, he had a 32.7 strikeout rate. Not like super overpowering stuff, but man, if he rises up to Triple A quickly, he's going to be a fun guy to root for. He's like a David Wells, but not like a total dick. So it'll be fun.
I just made a note on my paper to go look up Tugboat. So yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's cool.
What else are we looking at in the prospect world? You mentioned Vazana, who was the number one pick, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think it's happening this year. Yeah. At least not until the end of the year.
Is it Chase DeLauder time?
Yeah. I you know, if they think in spring that, like, he's ready, I think they will plop him in there over a Noel, just because, God, he's had so many foot issues. Like, they got to just use him. But he's not on the 40. Not that that's an obstacle. I mean, they got a bunch of crap. Like, you know, you like your Daniel Schneemans and your Tyler Freemans, but they're easily expendable. So I think if DeLauder is healthy, but that's a big if. Like, he's had so many foot problems, and gosh, just doesn't have a lot of minor league time, despite the fact that he's such a big prospect. But I'd say it's a 50% chance. That's what I'm going to go with. I know that's non-committal as all hell, but if he's healthy and they think that he's not striking out at too bad of a clip, because he's got great bat skills. So if he's not looking overpowered, I think they're just going to roll with it, just because of how long they've had to wait.
Yeah, I think they have to. Like you said, he keeps getting hurt. So if he's healthy, you got to see what
you're right. It's not like he's young. He's only been in the org for 2 years, but he's already 23 because he was a college draftee. So let's get it done.
All right. Any other prospects that we should maybe keep in mind for this season? Are we a few years away?
I don't think there's anything big. No, I mean, DeLauder's really the big one, and you got your Jonathan Rodriguez and Gabe Arias, I mentioned, platoon bat at best. Yeah, that's honestly pretty much it. There's not a lot that's ready. You know, you also have Jason Chirio. I mean, in any dynasty league, he's owned. Yeah. But that's, you know, it's Jackson Chirio's little bro, and he looks like
he could awesome.
Be, yeah, he looks like he could be as good as Big Bro. So Double A, he played center. He's not even 20 yet. Yeah, he's
that means he's almost ready if he's a Chirio.
Right. He's a Chirio. He'll be up next year, tops.
Oh, man, that's a good thing to at least look forward to right there, mm-hmm. That's for darn sure. All right, then, last question I have for you, my friend. What are your expectations in 2025?
I think they're going to try really hard to get there. I think they're going to actually make a couple trades like they did last year if they're close. I think it really depends on the rotation again, because there's just still so many question marks there. I'm a little disappointed they didn't bring Boyd back. I thought he was a pretty good fit for what Chicago paid him. I would have liked to have him back just to have a lefty. Like, there's no lefties. We need Quintillo to do something.
That's a good point.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what Ortiz can do, what the org can do with Ortiz. So if he works out and, you know, Williams doesn't get hurt, we could be back in the playoffs, no problem. It's a good enough team with the top of the lineup we have.
Well, I'm rooting for him. I always like to root for J-Ram. So it's a fun little squad, and I like Vote a lot. And so it's a tough team to root against, let's put it that way. So
right.
I enjoy checking them out. And it is interesting, you know, with the Central getting better, Tigers getting better, Twins are always somehow around. Royals are obviously getting better. So it's not just the Guardians division anymore. But as long as J-Ram's upright, I think they're always going to be in play. That's for sure.
I agree.
All right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate you joining me. That was a blast, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
Thanks, Bubs. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, check him out on Twitter at the Dust Mite. Jay Kalusker, everybody. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 736. Catch you all next time.